the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Happy Easter! It's a big party day, isn't it? I'm keen to get the good party atmosphere going. I mean, obviously we aren't together, and we aren't singing together or shouting together or like dancing around or... But, you know, we can still get a party going, can't we? So we're going to try with one great big whoop, okay? So you're all going to join me in. On three, we're going to go woo as loud as we can, okay? Maybe open a window, see if you can, like, entice any of your neighbours in to join you, maybe. Maybe you can hear other people from Belmont. We're going to do it all together, okay? It's going to be mad. Maybe have a dance around while you do it. On three, okay? So one, two, three. Woo! That was fun. I mean... It was a little bit underwhelming, if I'm honest. I'm here in an empty room and there was just me making noise and Harry behind the camera. So, but maybe that's how we're feeling today, you know? Easter's meant to be this incredible day of celebration and excitement, but maybe we're more excited for next week when the restrictions lessen a bit. Maybe we're not celebrating as hard or as much because we're struggling with what we've lost over the last year. You know, we're missing out on having Easter lunch with our family. It's really made me think, whilst putting this talk together, about the things in my life, the things in our lives that we use to measure our success or that generate happiness for us. I think often we get these pictures or ideas of what success looks like, what a happy life looks like, what we really, really want, but they're not always realistic or achievable. You know, like things like how many followers you have on social media or how much money in your account. They're the sort of happiness measures that they don't satisfy long term. They don't feed us as humans. But, I mean, that's obvious. You've heard that before. People have told you that sort of stuff's not going to last anyway. But actually, there's things that are good that we have in our lives that are really healthy for us that we can then turn to make unhealthy measures too. Stuff like how good at my job I am, how happy my family is, how kind I am, how much I serve, how perfect my life is. All these things are important, and the Bible tells us they're important to thrive as a person, but they're not the sole, like the ultimate bar for how good our life is. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 22-23, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And he's reminding us there that just because there are good and great things in the world that we crave, that we want to feel happy, our perception of those things can actually change them to be dark. If we get our priorities mixed up, when we see joy and satisfaction from places that aren't the real source of joy, then we can be left feeling deflated and empty when they let us down. And don't get me wrong, the Bible is clear that we're meant to strive and do our best and achieve a lot of stuff with our lives. But it's important that the bar that we set ourselves is a fair representation of what our best is meant to be, not what we make it out to be. So what's the real source of joy? How can we accurately set a bar for the quality of our day to day? How can we have a party when we don't feel like partying? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you got goosebumps? Not just because, you know, the weather got a bit chilly outside, but because you got so emotionally invested in a moment that your body got all shivery and bumpy. You might know who this is. This is Dwayne Johnson. But since 1997, I've known him simply as The Rock. Now, The Rock is more than just one of the most successful actors of all time. He's more than one of the most successful wrestlers of all time. The Rock's had loads of different nicknames. The Great One, the People's Champion. But the one that I like the most, he calls himself the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. The idea is that when he walks into a room or starts talking on a microphone, you can feel the electricity in the air. Let me take you back 10 years to 2011. We were getting ready for WrestleMania 27. I was. And The Rock was making his return. For the first time in 7 years, he was going to be before a live crowd. And it was a complete surprise. All the lights went black. And then suddenly his music played. And the crowd exploded with excitement. It's one of the loudest reactions I've ever heard from a crowd. The Rock came down to the ring. He's got all his usual swagger. He looks incredibly cool with his shades on. He steps on the turnbuckles and does all his posing. But as he got this microphone and he paused to start talking, as the whole audience is in the palm of his hand, keen-eyed viewers noticed that even though he'd outgrown wrestling, he'd gone to Hollywood. The whole world, the whole of this stadium is focused on him. He is in charge. But as he raises this microphone to cut his promo, there's goosebumps all the way down his arms. Because in that moment, the electricity wasn't just affecting the people, it was affecting The Rock. I think those goosebumps moments are some of the most purest examples of joy and excitement that we can feel. I wonder what your goosebump moments are. I hope, I imagine, they involve other people. They involve maybe even meeting people. Maybe it's when you go on a first date and you get that exciting little shiver. Maybe when you met your celebrity hero, you got your book signed by the person you've always idolized and you just get that little excitement. Maybe it's goosebumps in a sort of more negative excitement because you know you're going to have to go and have a sit down with a teacher or your boss and it might not be news that you want to hear. Well, why do I say all this talking about goosebumps? Well, Easter is a celebration of one very significant meeting between two people. Jesus has risen from the dead. The tomb is found empty. And Jesus, though, takes the time to meet with Mary in the garden. And he talks to her. And the encounter is powerful and it changes everything. Not just for Mary, but for the disciples and for all of us. I'm going to read you the account in John's Gospel of what happens. It's John 20, 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around. And she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he'd said these things to her. I love that passage. I've got goosebumps from reading that passage and imagining myself there. And it's the key thing about Easter. Is actually hard to celebrate something that happened 2,000 years ago when the world seems to be so rubbish. But it's not hard to find a life-changing joy day to day when we encounter Jesus ourselves, when we meet Jesus ourselves. In the garden, Jesus was simple. He comforted Mary. He called her by name and he left her excited with a message of hope and joy. And that is the same encounter that you are entitled to, that I am entitled to day after day, because of Easter. Being a Christian means nothing more than having a relationship with Jesus, and that relationship changes our lives. But wait, that's not all. The empty tomb on Easter Sunday and the risen Jesus means something massively more, something else, something extra. It means that we can have a personal relationship with the God who created everything, but it also means we no longer need to fear death. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Paul writes towards the end of that letter, he says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, if you want to get more into the resurrection and what it means for us, 1 Corinthians 15 is a great place to start. The whole of that chapter talks about the resurrection and talks about all sorts of different aspects of it. But I wanted to highlight just this end bit because this is the really exciting stuff. Thanks to Jesus's victory over death, thanks to the empty tomb, thanks to today, Easter Sunday, we can have a confidence as Christians that death is no longer something to be fearful of. Through Jesus' forgiveness of our sins, we can have confidence that we will one day be transformed to live with him forever. So let me finish at this. There's a lot of reasons this year that stop us being in a joyful and celebratory mood. I know. But the biggest reason hasn't gone. It hasn't changed. Jesus still knows you. He still loves you. He still died for you. He still forgives you. And he has an eternal future in store for you where life is lived to the full. Remember Paul's words. Stand firm in your relationship with Jesus. Let nothing move your faith in him. Devote yourself to building his kingdom because time spent with Jesus, our focus, is not in vain. Now, you might not know Jesus yet. Today might be the first time that you get the opportunity to actually encounter Jesus for yourself, to start your personal relationship. And goodness me, I really hope it is, because it is the most life-changing, the most positive thing that any individual can do. I'm going to pray for us. And if you want to invite Jesus into your life, if you want to encounter Jesus today, then maybe just echo my prayer back. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you know me and have always known me. Thank you that you died so that all the things that I have put between me and God can be taken away. Thank you that you reach out and want relationship with me, that you want to love me and that you have plans for my life today, tomorrow, and for the rest of it. Thank you that I no longer have to fear death, that I can be confident in a life spent with you, knowing your presence, your blessing, and your love day by day. Amen.